Hi everyone, and thank you very much for joining us on another episode of Lit Publishing's podcast, Lit Radio. My name is Miro, and as always, I will be your host for today's show. With me today is author of Navigating the Tech Storm, Nicholas Bergman. How are you today, Nicholas?
I'm all good. It's just a bit of a cold, but I got a cup of tea here, so I think I'll manage.
Yeah, well, perfect. And it is, of course, that time of the year, right before the holidays. And I think I've had a cold for the last 3 or 4 Christmases in a row, so I definitely see where you're coming from with this.
But it's just your excuse of not having to meet with a family or something, right, is it?
I cannot confirm or deny anything on that front. But with that bombshell, let's begin today's podcast, everyone, and thank you for joining us. As mentioned, of course, Nicholas is the author of Navigating the Tech Storm, and we're very happy to have him today. And I want to really give you a bit of background. Of course, Nicholas is a futurist, technology investor, and entrepreneur. And Navigating the Tech Storm, for me, has been a fascinating read. But before we get into it, Nicholas, I really want to ask you, what actually inspired you to become an author and, you know, decide to start writing?
Well, long story short, I've spent my whole career working with my own companies, working as a technology investor, quite often being part of the founding team as an investor, meaning that I've been working a lot, I must say, and spending a lot of time in the less interesting parts of building a business, a lot of the lawyers and the bankers and the auditors and the board meetings and the annual meetings and the red tape and all that. So that's a challenge because you never have time to finish a thought. So a couple of years ago, I did a shift, a mental shift and a practical shift in my calendar, actually, that I managed finally to get out of many of those meetings and set aside time to do some thinking. Reflect on things, and so writing a book, turning off the phone, as I've done, going out in the Stockholm archipelago, actually being able to find the time to read and to write, it was sort of a mental journey to put down on paper and try to explain and put pictures and words on how I've been working with technology for most of my life. So it was more of a discovery journey for me to actually try to understand how I work, more or less.
Yeah, absolutely. And now let's talk a bit about the book. And of course, for those who have been keeping up with the podcast, you would know that Nicholas was actually one of the first ever guests that we had about maybe 2.5 years ago. And that is why I'm also very excited to have him back on. But the book itself, now reading through and preparing for the podcast, one thing that really stuck out for me was this idea about megatrends. Because there was so much that went into them that made a lot of sense. Now, can you perhaps give us an idea about what megatrends are and why have they become so important?
Well, for me, I've always been very interested in the future, where we're heading, and technology in general, specific technologies more, as I've been working with them. But if you take a step back and look into the more, as I said, the mega trends, the big shifts happening in society and in the world today, you can actually boil it down to 5 of them. The first is the fact that we live longer and longer, and we stay healthy longer. Mm. We've got an aging population. And all these, there's good and bad with all these trends. The second thing is that we see an economic shift eastwards. In history, it's been North America, Europe have been the strong forces, the strong economic forces of the world. Now we see that China, India, Japan is sort of getting back. Got Indonesia, Malaysia, Korea, many new countries in the eastern part of the world that are actually gaining momentum and taking over a lot of the focus when it comes to consumerism and trade and this. The third part, of course, is the environment, which is an enormous challenge for us. We sort of understand today that we need to do something. Politicians has finally come to a conclusion what needs to be done. Not necessarily that we are doing it, but it's still an enormous step forward to actually understand that something has to be done. The fourth part of this is globalization, and actually urbanization, you can put them in the same. We communicate, we work, we trade with the global mindset today. That was not the what we did like just 20, 30 years ago. And also the fact, of course, that more and more people move into cities. So those four trends, that's four of the five mega trends. The fifth one is technology. We see a lot of innovation happening. It's an enormous race into putting new innovations, new products, new technologies on the market. We got a scientific field that is just booming. More and more science coming out of the labs, more and more research being published, for good and for bad. It is also a challenge to actually be able to understand and to grasp this when more and more things are coming out there. So although we actually do more research, more development, more products coming out, it's also a challenge to actually see this because it is also there's some kind of information overload. But what's also interesting is that you see that technology is actually fueling the other four mega trends. Of course, because of research, technology, new medical innovations, we live longer.
Yeah.
Technology is one of the factors resulting in a more globalized society, of course. So we see that there's a combination between these things. So I mean, that's the reason that I'm very interested in technology as a driver of change in the world today.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk a bit about the idea of technology being that mega trend, because as the book talks about, we are now in the sixth technology wave. And to think about it, that we've already gone through five is quite an achievement in itself. So in your opinion, what do you think is the standout feature of the sixth technology wave? And, you know, how do we make use of it?
Well, I mean, just to look back, people are, I think, the listeners are quite well aware of the previous trends that we've seen, a steam engine, electricity, mass production, computers and that. But what's interesting is that in any shift between technologies, between these technology waves, we see the same focus and sort of the same things happening over and over again. We see that we focus more on time. Time becomes very crucial. And of course, we see everything is just on time. Everything is in the present today. So that's just one example. The same thing, time was a big topic also when we invented the steam engine and the steam locomotive, for example. Then we got unified time in the UK, for example. So these things are happening independent of which wave it is. And then in this wave, we see there's still an open discussion about how to define this wave. For me, it has a lot to do about what you call miniaturization. The fact that we can understand what is happening on the atomic scale, and that will give us new ways of doing computing, faster and better computers, storage, all these things. We'll get a better understanding of what's happening within new materials down to the atomic level. We understand more and more about what's happening in our brains down to individual neurons. We can cut and paste in our genome. So in IT, in nanotechnology, in neurotechnology, biotechnology and genetics, the understanding of what's happening on the atomic level fuels innovation and then makes it possible to cross-pollinate between these different disciplines. For example, using nanoparticles to transport medication in our bodies. So that's also another very interesting part of this when we're in a shift between technology waves, that we cross-pollinate between disciplines. We we see that people that are multi-talented in many different areas also flourish in different ways. So these things come back, and as I said, miniaturization is, in my perspective, the sixth technology wave that will change a lot of things in the coming years and decades.
Yeah, and one thing that really sticks out for me when it comes to especially this technology wave is how do we actually analyze and make sense of the data and what we find? And I suppose that's kind of my next question for you, Nicholas, in that how do we begin to make sense of the analytics and data size of it? How do we use it to our advantage? Because I've often heard that companies struggle with this, businesses struggle with making sense of their data and actually making it work for them.
Yes, definitely. And that's, for me, that has been a challenge my whole life, actually, to take in information, process it, and actually make sense of it. And I know that for people I meet, people in any position, any level in a company, you face the challenge of actually having too much to do. You don't have time to take in new information, process that, digest that, and make sense of it. So that's actually the essence of the book. The first part is what we just talked about, the more broader perspective on technology mega trends and where we're heading in that perspective. The second and main part is how you can understand technology and make business sense out of it. So for me, that is a three-way process. The first part is to analyze technologies, understand what's out there, take bits and pieces. You read something, you talk to someone, you listen to something on a podcast, or you go to a conference. You meet with people that are facing this technology and explaining it to you. And when you connect these dots and realize that you hear about a new innovation from many different sources, then you could see that, okay, maybe that could be something that we need to look into. And this is not something that can be top of mind for all people in all lines of business around the world. I mean, I know that from my own experience, that it is difficult to actually set aside time to do this fact-checking, the analysis, and actually gathering this information. But having it in the back of your head as a filter when you, as I said, read something, see something, talk to someone, and just have it in the back of your head to actually be able to digest it somewhat and realize that you've heard about it, seen about it from several sources, and then understand that this is something we need to take a look at. The second part of analyzing these things, once you've identified that there's something interesting out there, is to try to see the time perspective. When will this happen? When will it break through? When will it reach a mainstream audience? Because timing is very essential when it comes to these things. So once you have this, once you've analyzed the technologies from this perspective, you need to assess the business implications. How will it affect your company? How will it affect the way your inner workings of the company, how productive you can be, ways you manage, ways you set out to reach your goals? Could you be more efficient? Could you save money? Could you make more money? That's one perspective. Second perspective is to see how it will affect your customer relations. Can you offer new products and services to your customers? Will they demand new things from you based on this technology? Is there other ways that you can interact with your users using this technology, for example? And the third part of this is to actually see how your industry will change. Do you have partners today that will be competitors in the future, or vice versa? Will the power structure and your value chain change? All these different things. So that's the assessment part of this process. And once you have identified, analyzed the technologies, you've assessed the business implications, you need to adapt to this new reality. You need to take in perspectives of new ways of leadership, new ways to organize your work. You need to have a sustainability and ethics perspective of this. And that something I also cover in the book. So just to simplify for me, it's a steadily ongoing three-part process where you analyze technologies, you assess the implications for your business, and then you adapt to that new reality you're facing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fascinating insight. And just to follow on from that, Nicholas, I really want to ask you, I guess, a bit of a differing question on that front. As someone who is very heavily invested within tech, who has now, you know, just written the new book, how do you manage to find time to, in a way, disconnect from technology and disconnect from megatrends? And have you found your perfect way of creating that work-life balance, or have you perhaps integrated tech in how you live everyday life?
Well, actually, to give a bit of background on that, I have a big problem staying in the present. And my wife is complaining about that. She's been complaining about that for 25 years. Happy that she's still around sometimes now. No, but it is a challenge. Since I work with technology and it's changing all the time, I work somewhat with the future. I want to take my companies, my innovations, somewhere else into the future. That is a challenge. So on one side, I don't have to stay in the present. That's one perspective of this. On the other hand, having a family, three kids, of course, that whole family situation is actually quite good to force me to be present. And so having a family is actually one very good solution to mindfulness for me, right, in that sense. But I also use technology sometimes to stay away from technology. I know that I can automate things in my line of business, meaning that I don't have to spend time on repetitive things. So that's my way of using technology to free up time. I very much appreciate some of the new features you have in your laptops and your smartphones, where you can actually remove, you can sort of, like, evenings, mornings, you can opt out from actually being updated on everything. You turn off your mail on specific times in the evening, and for me that works quite well, actually. And also, although I travel a lot and have everything digital, even I can appreciate a physical book from time to time. Actually, right now, rereading an old science fiction novel from more than 20 years ago on paper, which is sort of an interesting revelation again to do that, because I haven't done that in a bit.
Would you mind sharing what the name is of the novel?
Sorry?
Would you mind sharing what the name of the novel is?
Yes, it's The Diamond Age by Neal Stephenson. And I just thought about it the other night, that it's a science fiction novel that was written, I think, in 1995, taking place in a not-so-distant future. Not very specific there. And it's actually aged quite well. It could almost have been written today. It's a focus that is a bit more nanotechnology than artificial intelligence, which would probably have been a difference if it would have been written today, because we have a huge, enormous, gigantic focus on artificial intelligence right now. But apart from that, it's actually aged quite well. And that is impressive and amazing to still stay current in a science fiction novel after almost 25 years.
Yeah, absolutely great. And of course, for those listening, we'll put a link in the description below so you can go and you can check it out yourself and see what you think. But with that, Nicholas,
I can highly recommend Neal Stephenson as a science fiction author if you want to get a perspective on different technologies that are actually happening right now.
Well, there you go. That is for our listeners. And I'd like to thank you very much with this for coming to join us today on the podcast, Nicholas. It's been a pleasure to have you come back.
Thank you.
And of course, for those listening, if you enjoyed our conversation today, please do check out the links in the description below where you can find out everything about navigating the tech storm. And of course, you can get in touch with us at social media and let us know what you think about today's podcast. It's always a great pleasure to have our audience on. And as always, we will look forward to seeing you next week.